Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start the show off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, so the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's she caught me, loves? You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
All right, and we are back. Okay, I say this a lot, but it's always the truth. I'm excited about today's episode because I don't know who I'm talking to. They reached out to me on the Facebook page, and now they're here. So I'm going to learn like you today. So these are my favorite type of guests. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So on that note, sir, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, thank you. I feel really lucky to be your favorite kind of guest.
There you go.
Makes me feel special. But my name is Tim Dick. I'm the owner of a new HR consulting company here in Fort McMurray called Best Culture Solutions. And
okay.
I help employers navigate recruiting and outplacement when they have to part ways with an employee. And I also help job seekers with their resumes and interview coaching and their own career transitions as well.
That's awesome, yeah. Man. That's a great service. That's a great service to town, especially for medium to small size businesses.
Totally.
That can't always afford to have like a dedicated HR person, maybe a recruiter or a trainer or somebody to help them with their policies, interviews, exiting interviews, stuff like that.
100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you figure this one out? What put you in this pocket?
Yeah. Where do I start? So 20 years ago, I had a really cool opportunity to go work for Disney in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
So I don't know. Have you ever been to Epcot Center?
I have.
Big golf ball.
Yep. Right? Love it.
Back half of the park, there's 11 countries that all have pavilions there. And I worked at the Canadian Pavilion.
Okay.
As a waiter in the steakhouse there.
Okay.
Was it a requirement to be Canadian to work in the Canadian Epcot Center?
It was. And they actually only bring people down for a year at a time. So that way you can't become un-Canadian.
Right.
Because if you spend too much time there, you kind of lose that uniqueness.
Right.
And they brought people from all over the world for all those pavilions.
So, okay.
Like I had a roommate from Germany at one point, Italy, Japan, China.
Cool.
So it was cool. But one of the things I really took away from there is that their interview process was different than anything I'd ever been in.
Mm.
And it really hit home that if you do it right and you do it well, you can make a huge difference in the culture that's there.
Right.
You're actually doing the people that work there a giant favor, because if you're interviewing properly, you're actually identifying candidates who are going to be fulfilled, right?
That's right.
By the role, by what it offers. And you're doing them a service as well. From that, I actually ended up becoming certified in the same interviewing processes that they use. Amazon use similar processes.
Wow.
And applying it to my roles in various places. Most recently, spending 9 years in Fort McMurray, applying it to a role at Diversified Transportation. I became super passionate about interviews and what it
okay.
could do.
Yeah.
You know, I saw using those techniques make a big difference, like in things like engagement, absenteeism. Came to the point where I didn't even have to track absenteeism anymore with the team that I was managing, because we had just the right people that were super motivated to do it.
No doubt.
And when the pandemic hit, I realized that at the time, it was going to be a scary place for a lot of people that needed a job.
Yeah.
Scary place. And
yeah.
So I thought, well, why don't I turn that knowledge into helping people through their interview process?
That's right.
So I started coaching people with interviews. I started with a friend, and he got two jobs in the middle of the pandemic when it was at its worst.
Right.
And he called me up and he said, you realize that people actually do this for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the business then, just kind of as a side business.
Okay.
And then it grew, and people started saying, well, hey, if you can help people through interviews,
mm-hmm.
why aren't you helping companies identify the right candidate?
That's right.
Oh, that's a good point. So
yeah.
I started adding those services, and then, well, wait a second, why don't you help companies when they have to let people go?
Yeah. Right?
Be there to help support them with that. And then you can take that individual and help them find their next fulfilling job.
That's right.
Because it's the same, it's all the same subject matter. It's the skill, the job search, and the interview, right? And helping both employers and job seekers in that. So just a passion that I learned from being in Orlando 20 years ago. And it's just kind of taken its own direction. And now,
it's cool, man.
Full time in the business. So
that's awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love that you decided to like start a business for it. It's something that the community has needed for a very, very long time.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a great, great business that I think you're in, especially for those small businesses. Because as you know, like you're in a HR position. Like,
sure.
Even if you're a company that is a medium-sized business, to employ an HR person, nonetheless, like a department, That's unattainable for so many businesses.
Yeah.
And in theory, they don't need it for the duration of a year. So for them to have like a local option.
Totally.
Huge, man.
You know what I often find too, is that a lot of businesses, what they do, if they don't need that full-time person, they'll just say, well, let's just give it to whoever handles the right. books for us.
That's right.
It's administrative, right?
That's right.
And so one of the things that we're also exploring adding is just the option of saying, you know, I need 5 hours a week of HR support.
Yeah.
You know, give me the company's email address. You know, I can fulfill that 5 hours a week, or one of the companies I'm partnering with, Ken, and stuff like that, because it's true. Like there's more to it than just recruiting an outplacement.
Oh,
there's 100%. Issues that need to be addressed.
And, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly that it. Yeah. No, it's so, so true. I think you hit the nail on the head there too. Like you just can't give it to an administrator or like a bookkeeper. Like people go to school, myself,
yeah.
for that kind of stuff. And like there is an art form to it and there's that's a theory behind it. And I've been approached numerous times throughout the years to be like, hey, can you help? And my answer is always like, no, I can't.
You're busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. Yeah. But I know that there's a need for that service. And like the one thing that you do with coaching is I tell people myself, I'm like, the interview is like your interview is the most important thing you do in your life.
Absolutely.
It like
on both sides.
On both sides. That's yeah. exactly. Well, that's it. Yeah. The employer wants to hire you
that's
and
right.
you want to be hired. You're both on the same team. Let's get you talking the same language so that both people can be happier.
Oh man, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're so right, Elliot, because it's like it's important on both sides. It's important obviously for the job seeker because that's the meeting that cements it for you, right? You're either, you know, either they're a good fit for you or vice versa, mm-hmm. or you're not. On the employer side,
yeah.
interviewing right is the single most important thing
yeah.
you can do. Because you can have all the processes and policies in the world.
Yeah.
It's the people that are there.
Yeah.
And they either decide if they get followed or not, or if they get improved or not. And I'm a big subscriber that people is your policy.
Yeah.
More than anything you can ever put on paper. And the most important way to manage your time as an employer is to like get it right in the interview process.
That's
get
right.
the right people on board.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Well, because if you don't, the ripple effect of that is detrimental to your organization. If you hire somebody that may have the best skill set, but doesn't fit into the culture of what you're trying to make, it's no good. And I don't know what the stat is anymore. It's been quite some time since I looked, but it used to be like everybody that you hire costs the company $30,000.
Totally.
To recruit, retain, like go through, like pay the interview, the whole thing. $30,000 per employee.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an expensive asset to just have walk out the door because you did it incorrectly from the get-go.
That's right.
So,
and I would say at a minimum.
Yeah.
If it's like a bigger role.
That's right.
You know, like I know of a company in the United States that lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Because they got the wrong person in a key role.
That's right.
So you've lost supervision the training costs. Yeah. You've lost the, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Everything is just down the toilet, right? So
what brought you to Fort McMurray? You said you've been here for 8 years.
Yeah, nine.
9 years, okay.
I came here in August 2012.
Okay.
I was actually here in January 2005 to May 2006, and I came back on a contract in 2008.
Okay.
So at the time when I first came here in 2005, I was actually living in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And I was dispatching for Greyhound.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, when they were still around.
Yeah, I was just going to say, RIP.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it was their busiest office was Toronto, and you know, we looked after everything in kind of the Southern Ontario region to the U.S. And at the time, Diversify gave me a call and said, hey, we know your family's in Alberta. My parents live in Calgary.
Okay.
Fort McMurray is an exciting place to be. Why don't you come back or come back to Alberta anyway?
That's right. That's
first
right.
time here. It was, you've been here all your life, right?
Born and raised, my man. Okay.
So you know what it was like then.
Crazy.
I had to buy a condo without even seeing it.
That's right.
Yeah. It was like, it went on the market, saw some pictures that day in Toronto, pulled the trigger, had possession in March 2005,
sounds came up here, right.
found a floor to sleep on for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I ended up going back to university in Calgary. And,
okay.
And once that was done, I actually came back.
Yeah.
I came back to Diversified again and spent 9 years there doing operational implementation.
Oh, wow.
Managing their 24/7 op center for a while. And then most recently helping out as their training director.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. But that's, Fort Mac is definitely
that's home for you. So now you've planted roots.
Yes.
Yeah. So why Fort Mac? Like you come from Toronto, people could argue Toronto, big city.
Yeah.
More to do. Family, Calgary, once again, bigger.
More to do.
Closer to the mountains.
For sure.
What about Fort McMurray has kept you in the town or city? Sorry, city.
It is a city. This is the Mac City
That's
morning
right.
show.
That's right.
You're not the Mac Town morning show,
yeah,
Elliot.
That's exactly it. My bad. It has all the warmth of a small town. That's all I'm saying. So yeah, what keeps you here?
And it does. So you know what? When I came up in 2012,
yeah.
At the time, I was just out of university. And I'll be honest, like a lot of people, I needed a job.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I already had a relationship with Diversified. I reached out to them, saw if they needed help. Started as a contract, manifested itself into, you know, a successful 9 years and one that I'll always be grateful for.
Yeah.
What happened was I got married in 2016.
Yeah.
And you know how it used to be here? If you married somebody from not Fort McMurray and you brought them up, mm-hmm. like on pins and needles, are they going to like it here or not?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And it just showed me how much things had evolved since 2005, first time I came here. Because mm-hmm. as soon as my wife came here, she said, I love it here.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward, I would tell you the most important thing that I do every day is I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I've got two daughters, 3 years old and 9 months old.
Okay, wow. Yeah,
they're super cute. I'm biased, but yeah. I think they're cute.
Yeah.
and you know what? We were just blown away. Like, you know, ever since like our first daughter was born in 2018, the maternity ward was just like, this is the perfect place where we wanted to be when this event happened.
Yeah.
You start going out in the community and there's just so much stuff to do for kids here now.
That's right.
And so many programs. You know, like my wife will often take them to the hub or, mm-hmm. you know, to the library. There's just so much for them to do.
Yeah.
And there just was a really good community for like younger moms with young kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, our kids have flourished here.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
So yeah, like we are more than happy to call this place home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For a few years there. And when I say a few years, I mean a lot of years. We were pumping out 100 kids a month out of that hospital. So like for young families, there is that group of new parents
totally.
That you can totally kind of connect with and bond with because, yeah, the numbers are just plentiful, to say the least.
Yeah. I wonder what that number is now.
It's still pretty high because although, like, the economy has turned down, the population hasn't really decreased that much. Like, I know from the census people will say, oh, yeah, well, we've had a tremendous drop, which we've had. But a lot of that has to do with, like, the shadow population that used to be here.
Totally.
People living in camps, people renting basement suites, so on and so forth. The actual core of Fort McMurray, for the most part, based on last census numbers.
Yeah.
Like, we still have a lot of, like, residents that are here. It could be better, but I'd still say those numbers are pretty high because it's a young community. Our average age is, like, 37.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And like my little guy's in school right now, and there's lots of kids.
Like, how old's your little guy?
He's turning 7 on Friday.
Okay.
He's turning 7 on Friday.
Okay.
So exciting stuff. So I get where you're coming from.
You grew up faster than I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
But when I was in the HR field, my closing note when I was recruiting people to come to Fort McMurray was like, yeah, I know the money and I know blah, 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 everything we talked about. I was like, but you should move to Fort McMurray for your kids.
Totally.
And they just look at me and I'm like, you might not have kids or maybe you do already. It's irrelevant. But the opportunity that your kids are going to have growing up in this community is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The school systems are huge. The amount of money put into them from like what oil and gas provides.
Totally.
Like every club, when you get to like the high school level, you need a passport. Because prior to COVID, you're going somewhere.
That's right.
And like that, and it's tremendous. Tremendous opportunity for your children in this community.
Well, I mean, and so to your point, how many cities do you go to where you see so many companies that are willing to put money into schools the way they do directly like they have?
That's right.
You know, with I mean, I know it's they sponsor it.
Yeah.
How often do you see that? You don't.
Yeah, you don't. Right? You don't.
You just don't. And so there's a lot of advantages here to being where we are for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That way.
Well, my man Tanner's giving me the phone. That means it's time for his segment called the Mac City Minute.
Should
Tanner, get luck. Get ready. I don't know what he's going to ask you.
Should I be afraid?
You should be.
Okay, I'm afraid.
Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
Alrighty. Question number one. What is your most interesting story from an interview you've been a part of?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so I used to, when I was interviewing for like a dispatch position, I wanted to see how people would think on their feet.
Right.
So I used to ask them like a really left field question that I actually don't recommend a lot of people ask unless there's a really good reason for it, just to see how quickly they can come up with an answer. Can you make a decision quickly?
Yeah.
And the question was, let's say an alien shows up at your house, knocks on your door and says, hey, Tanner, I can bring you 3 people, dead or alive, famous or not. You get to go for lunch with them. Who are you picking? Right. You could have said anybody you wanted. I just wanted to make sure you could think on your feet.
Right.
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 And the alien would, of course, throw people off and be like, what's this guy's problem? Yeah. Of which there are many, but anyway, this is not an 8-hour show.
Yeah.
But probably the best answer I got to that, or the most impactful thing that I didn't expect in an interview, was that the interviewee began to well up with tears in her eyes.
Oh.
And she said to me, my family is in Bangladesh, and my brother is autistic. And when we FaceTime, he just misses me so much.
Right.
If I could bring them for lunch, it would just make me so happy to see him so happy.
There you go.
And I'll tell you something. I have never used that question to judge the substance of the response.
Right.
But I did that time.
Yeah.
Because I knew that person's priorities.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Nice.
Question number two. What is one thing you had to do while working at Disney that might surprise people?
It might surprise people, might not. Clean up vomit. It happens. Kids get sick. But we called it a protein spill. And we had spill kits everywhere. Like, when it happened, I kid you not, because the thing at Disney, right, is that this is the most magical place on earth. You must have the best vacation you've ever had, or else it's not optional. And if you hear somebody's kid has puked, right, or somebody's vomited, that's not really a magical way of putting it.
Right.
A protein spill kind of adds to like the legend of Disney, because it's like, what's that? It's some secret code, you know, it's Disney speak. And I kid you not, you'd be lucky when that happens to see it stay on the ground for longer than 60 seconds, because like you're just, it's not even an event there. It's just like, we know what to do.
Yeah.
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 But yeah.
Question number three. What is the weirdest question you've ever heard from an interview?
Ooh, okay, Tanner, you need to clarify. From the person doing the interview or the person being questioned by the interviewer?
Either or. You have experience in both fields.
That's true. The question I told you about before. probably the weirdest one. I once heard about somebody being asked questions that were very specific about what time do you wake up in the morning? What do you eat?
Okay.
Stuff like that. And the company, for whatever reason, wanted somebody who only had a very specific timeline and diet for some strange reason to match with the person that they were reporting to.
Wow.
And like, personally, I don't know if that's really like, I don't know if that's a good way to judge people when you hire them.
Myself, that's right.
But
yeah.
Yeah. One of my coaching clients, that was a question they were asked.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
And they're like, well, what if it doesn't match? And I was like, maybe that's not so bad.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Like, listen, you might not want this job. Yeah. Or working for that guy or girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally funny.
Yeah. That was definitely an odd one.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Question number four. What is one thing about Fort McMurray that helped you become the person you are?
That's a good one. Resilient. Resilient. If I were to think back to 2016, the fires.
Yeah.
At that time, my role was to manage the operations center. And so obviously with Diversified being who they are in town, we played a significant role in the evacuation, right?
Yeah, big time.
And so my job at that time was like we supervised the entire logistics for the company, right? Mm-hmm. The execution of those logistics. And if you weren't resilient, not only just on that day, but for like not even just the 4 weeks while we were evacuated, but for like years afterwards, because it took years to rebuild everything from a business perspective or a process perspective. If I wasn't resilient before, I certainly learned how to be then.
There you go.
Yeah.
And your final question, what is one aspect of Fort McMurray that you think most people overlook that helped you want to stay here?
You know, we talked about it, I think, before, the stuff for families. I think if you're not from Fort McMurray, I don't think that you hear about it as much.
Yeah.
And there's just so much to do here. Like, we never have a dull or boring moment in our house just with the options that we have. So
yeah.
I think Mack Island was a game changer 10 years ago,
sure. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, that's the way I look at it.
And those have been your five questions.
There you go, Tanner. Look, you made it through it. I don't know how Tanner comes up with the questions. He's killing it.
He could be an interviewer.
He could be, but he's off camera. He's mystery.
I feel like it'd be a really bad idea if you needed an interviewer and you chose the guy who came up with the questions as the interviewee was getting interviewed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably be like a really bad call.
Yeah. That is actually. Yeah. I don't recommend that.
The one thing, and when people ask me at home about this or when guests come in, they're just like, "Wow, you must do so much preparation for this show." No.
Zero
preparation is done.
Yeah, it's a
zero. Yeah, so Tanner comes up with the questions literally as you and me are talking.
Yeah,
and I just come up with the conversations as the conversation flows. So, yeah,
I appreciate that, though.
Yeah, man,
spontaneous.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's the most organic way to have a conversation.
It's the way a podcast should
be. That's it. Yeah. So, 20 minutes is up, my man.
Cool.
It happens fast.
That
so
was quick.
Before we let you go, though, everybody gets a shameless plug and or shout-out before the show's over. So let's hear your shameless plug or shout-out.
Okay. You can find me at bestculturesolutions.ca. The website's currently under development. My old website is still up at bestinterview.ca.
Okay.
Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, Best Interview Coaching, I'm there. And once the name changes, it'll be Best Culture Solutions. You'll find that there, too.
Sweet. Yeah. There we go. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You can come back as many times as you want.
Okay, thank you.
Take me up on that offer.
You're welcome back here anytime.
There you go.
Sweet. I appreciate that. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. I did too. All right. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo and the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. It truly does mean the world to me. I hope you're having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.